Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I am your host, Martha Reddick, and this week we are going to be talking about kids and physical therapy. And to do that, I have brought on Smita Charate. Hello, Smita.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm very excited to talk to you tonight about your amazing book that you wrote called Benji Bounces Back.
Yes, I'm excited too.
Wonderful. Well, before we talk about physical therapy and kids and Benji Bounces Back, let's hear a little bit about your background.
Sure. So to start with, I have been a physical therapist for a very long time. I graduated in 1985, and I graduated from a medical school in India, in Bombay, Mumbai now. Okay. So I have had about more than three decades of experience working with a wide variety of patients, including pediatric orthopedic conditions. And I was very fortunate to get a lot of experience working for almost 5 years in a teaching institute in India. So that's where I gathered most of my knowledge as a young physical therapist. And then in 1993, I moved to America, USA, in Michigan, where I worked in a hospital. So in last many years, everywhere I have worked, I was very fortunate to actually start a pediatric section of rehabilitation in the outpatient physical therapy area. And that was close to my heart because I felt that was lacking in that outpatient setup. So on and so forth, I have worked with pediatric population, younger kids, developmental delays, and children are, I love kids.
So, me too.
So I, recently I thought of, finding a book which may help ease some of the anxiety I saw over many, many years when kids came to see me for the very first time. And that's how I thought of writing this book.
Great. Yes. So I had the pleasure of reading your book, and it is fantastic. I had a nanny kid of mine who at the time, I believe she was 7 or 8. I can't remember where it happened in correspondence with her birthday, but she had both of her ankles had hairline fractures in them. Mm-hmm. And so she was in a wheelchair, and then like kind of a scooter as they allowed those to heal. And so I got to read your book with her, and she said that she was like, I wish I had had this before I went to physical therapy.
That's so true. That's so true.
Yeah. 'Cause it does. I mean, it's going to the doctor. I mean, honestly, as an adult is sometimes scary for me, but as a kid, it's very scary because you feel very out of control. So I think that this gives a lot of really good insight into what is going to happen and that, you know, everyone has your best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm.
So great. What do you wish that kids knew before starting physical therapy?
So over the period of years, I have seen kids coming or walking into my physical therapy clinic for evaluation for the very first time. I noticed that they're not well prepared to even expect what they may go through for a physical therapy evaluation. Or sometimes some kids don't even know who a physical therapist is. So right. I would recommend that they be prepared that this is different from just going to a doctor's office, getting an injection, which most kids have the fear or anxiety about, and explain to them or talk them through some small steps what they may be going through when they actually meet the physical therapist. So what I would recommend is that the guardian or the parent explain to the child that we are going to go to see this clinician. She's a physical therapist. A physical therapist is a professional who will help you restore your function, help you with your injury, will help you give you some relief with your pain, get you back on the playground, get your functions back. And during the course of your rehabilitation, she's going to help you with some fun-filled exercises, some play-based activities, and I will be by your side at all times. You can talk to her. You can, you know, share your feelings, your emotions with the clinician, and everything will be fine. Make it more of a positive experience for the child so that when they come in, they come with that in their mind. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that does. That's very helpful. So can you talk us through a little bit of what does happen? Because I've honestly never been to a physical therapist. So if, you know, I was to try to communicate to a child about what it's like, I wouldn't have much personal experience to draw on. So what kind of exercises and things like that do you often do?
Sure. Let me briefly also walk you through steps. What actually really happens when the child first comes to therapy. So a child could be on crutches or could be in wheelchair, could be just out of his cast or from surgery. Many of the above things could be happening. And so he's already in pain, he's fearful, he's anxious. So generally he already has a scheduled appointment coming into the clinic. So when he comes into the clinic, more likely he's going to see other children around who are comfortable because they've been coming there for a while, or they might be interacting with other kids, other people in the waiting room. So there will be a waiting area where they will come into. There is a few minutes of paperwork which the parent or the guardian will have to finish. And generally the physical therapist will come and greet the child, introduce herself to the kid. And then the guardian and the child is taken into a private room where the evaluation process begins. And generally the evaluation process is where the therapist tries to understand how the child was injured or what is the concern. She will ask questions to the parent. She will try to understand what are some of the activities or challenges the child is facing right now. Then she will also talk to the child and try to understand his perspective of the injury, that he is having difficulty going up the stair to his room, or, you know, he's not able to go to school, or he's not able to go to recess, or he's not able to have the circle time because he cannot sit down on the floor, things like that. Then there is an assessment part where she will actually assess the area which is injured. Sometimes she may use devices like, or I would say more tools like a hammer or a reflex hammer, or she may use a goniometer, which is explained in my book. It's for measuring the range of motion at the joints. Mm-hmm. And then after that, she will discuss the treatment plan with the parent and make them understand what the treatment entails. It could be hands-on techniques to relieve pain. It could be moving the joint through the range of motion. It could be, you know, helping him tolerate weight bearing on the injured lower extremity. It could be using that area in a more therapeutic way. And then is the time when she will introduce some exercises, and generally the exercises could be actively moving the area or trying to make it more of a fun activity, such as can you draw alphabets with your toes, or can you pretend you're standing, and then let's pretend you're marching on the moon. So you slowly lift your one leg and then the other leg. Sometimes you could have the mom, or you know, the therapist may start singing a song. The ants go marching one by one. Let's all march. So it is a lot of times it could be fun filled. They would not feel intimidated by the exercise programs. And then at the end, she would explain what they could do at home or what precautions they should take at home.
Oh, that's, I didn't even think about the precaution side of things, but mm-hmm. that's a very good point. So for those exercises at home, often as nannies, we are not necessarily in that appointment with the physical therapist. Mm-hmm. It's usually, you know, the parent or guardian that is there with them. And so a lot of times we are hearing secondhand about how to do the exercises correctly. Are there ways that a nanny can be more successful at helping a child work through these exercises?
Yes, of course. So generally, when the physical therapist is recommending a home exercise program, she will first go through all those exercises with the child and make sure that the child can safely do them with her supervision. Mm-hmm. Once that happens, she will give you handouts, and generally the handouts will have pictures so that there is visual visualization of what the exercise means. And there should be detailed instructions. For example, do your ankle pumps 10 times, twice a day, or do this stretch and hold it for 60 seconds and do it twice every day. So those handouts should have explanations, should have pictures on it. So the nannies could use that as a guide for helping the child do the home exercise program. And I think nannies or the guardians or the family is a crucial part of home exercise program, because children are oftentimes either hurting or don't want to do the exercises or forget. So I would say that it's a crucial part of the team. You know, we all are as a team trying to help the child. And so right. It's very important that in the home front, the nannies do whatever they can to make this child comfortable. So they are the ones who can actually sense if the child is going through physical stress, emotional stress from the injury.
Yeah,
they could use a reward system. They could help them count backwards for a exercise, or they could say, okay, let's sing this song, and you hold the stretch. So by the time the song is done, the stretch will be done. And then you could do rewards such as words of praise, or you could give them a sticker. You could say, okay, you know what, if you do these exercises every day, it will make your rehabilitation easier and make a long-term goal. So a child who is not able to bear weight on his leg because of a fracture or pain, a long-term goal would be if you rehab yourself well, if you meet those goals, you won't need your crutches. And how about we then plan to bake something together, or go for a movie together, or go to the ice cream store together? So you know, those are many factors, which are a lot of emotional support the child needs at that time from home.
Yes, yes. And I found success with my little one in having her show me how to do the exercises, because giving her, you know, my full attention, and she got to be the teacher, and that really works for her. It might not work for every kid, but having her talk me through how to do the exercises and then me doing them with her really made it enjoyable for her. But I love your idea of singing a song or, you know, various reward systems. I think those are all really great ideas.
Yes. And then I would also like to add that sometimes siblings are also very helpful. So if you have a little brother or sister, include her in the exercises. Say, let's do it together. Let's make it more of a family activity, you know, so the child doesn't feel that he has to do or go through this by himself, or doesn't feel secluded. Because, you know, if he's doing a hamstring stretch or a runner stretch, it's okay if his sibling joins him, and, you know, now they're both doing it, so it's more fun.
Right. And it doesn't hurt. I mean, like, yes. for another sibling or yourself to get a little stretching time in, it's never a bad thing.
Sure. That's true.
Wonderful. So there, you talked about the emotional side of things too, which is something that I really loved about Benji Bounces Back, is that it really showcased some of those frustrations, especially, you know, kids are in these growing bodies and they're kind of changing all the time anyway, but they're gaining, usually they're changing to gain more skills and to not be able to do something that they used to be able to do, like run, you know, if there's an injury that prevents you from running, that can be really frustrating. So do you have advice about that, about talking to kids through kind of their more emotional frustrations?
Yes, I think that it is very important for kids to verbalize their emotions. I support self-advocacy with children, and I try to educate all my children who I work with about self-advocacy. So I am a firm believer that expression of emotions is very important, so that they feel comfortable that they have somebody who is relating to their emotions, their feelings, their frustrations. So there are many ways I think we could address this. Few of the things are where you just talk it out with the child. If you sense that he's going through emotional distress, see if he opens up to you. You know, encourage him to say things like, use your words if you're feeling sad, and how can we make you happy? Or if you're feeling sad right now, let's think, what can make you happy? Or say, you know what is a happy face? Can you smile and show me what a happy face is? So practice the feelings, you know, back and forth. Or say, you know, when I hurt my ankle, or when I sprained my ankle, I was sad too. But, you know, guess what? Then I got stronger. I did the exercises. I rehabilitated it. And look, I'm running now. So it made me happy. So that's one way of doing it. Or some kids are not comfortable talking about their feelings right away. So then they could, you could start a journal, writing a journal or writing a sentence every day, or writing how you felt before going to a physical therapist, before doing exercises, and how do you feel now?
That's a great idea.
That could be another example for it. Or you can create a scrapbook. You can say, you know what, you injured your ankle, or you injured your knee. Let's make a scrapbook and see what comes out of it. So, you know, you can start, go as in the past, as when the injury really happened. Was it in a playground, or was it when you were at a birthday party? So you can start scrapbooking and putting the pieces together on the timeline as you go through the journey, and that might keep the child's mind busy. He could look at the progress he's making from when the injury really happened. Finally, I think, trying to choose a hobby when you are not being able to be physical could also be very rewarding. So It could be something as small as let's bead necklaces together or bracelets or, you know, collect coins or, you know what, read about different bones in your body. Check out a book in the library and say these are all the different bones in your body and this is the bone which was injured, or, you know, more educational, something like that. So I think keeping the mind engaged, trying to give that confidence to the child that mm-hmm. we are able to relate to you and we are here to help you, but you also need to use your words, verbalize, self-advocate what is bothering you, and we as a team can help you.
I love that. Yes, I love the idea of teamwork. And I love the idea of books. I'm a huge fan of books. And I would also add that audiobooks are really good when a kid can't move around a lot, because sometimes they get tired of physically reading a book. And that, if they're doing audiobooks, they can also color or knit or sew or, you know, whatever, or bead necklaces or anything mm-hmm. With their hands. So if a kid is antsy with just reading, I think audiobooks are a really great way to kind of adventure around the world without leaving your house.
Yes, yes. Also, if it's an older child or a middle school child or, you know, at any age, but, you know, introducing them to different professions, this might not be a good idea. This might not be a bad time because they didn't know who a physical therapist is and now they are in physical therapy. So similarly, you know, you can talk about all these different careers, clinicians, you know, different fields. I think it might be a good idea to introduce those then.
I totally agree. That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. And then that, you know, helps them, yeah, like you said, feel more powerful and able to handle and work through things. And it's also teaching them emotional intelligence, which is very important.
Correct. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Great. So how can parents and nannies help with potential bullying during the period where they're recovering and getting better? I know from classmates and things like that, if they're still going to school, but even from adults, one of my nanny kids, she was walking up to turn in a piece of paper and there was a substitute teacher who said, like, your walker is too loud.
Oh, wow.
So I know it just, which, you know, is the exception, not the rule, but mm-hmm. how can you help give them language to advocate for themselves and to stand up against bullies during this time where they're pretty vulnerable?
Yes, I agree. You know, as I had mentioned earlier, you know, encouraging self-advocacy early on when they are actually, going through this whole journey that's why important. I think when you talk about bullying, it could be verbal bullying by just friends making fun of you because you have a crutch, or friends making fun of you because you have an ankle brace. I have many many kids in my clinic who shy away when I say you need even a tape. You know, like when I tape mm-hmm. their foot to correct some of the mechanics, many children shy away and say, oh no, you know, I'll be teased in class, or, you know, somebody's going to ask me, or is the tape going to be seen? If it's under my sock, I'm fine, but otherwise I don't want it. So a lot of times verbal bullying happens as well, where kids are made fun of because they have a tape on or a brace on or are using a crutch. But they could also have social bullying where they are isolated or nobody wants to talk to them, or a lot of times they cannot go and play during recess, so they are secluded reading a book or sitting in a corner somewhere by themselves, and that's when they can go through emotional distress. And then lastly, I hope it never happens, but it could be physical bullying. So you're already injured, you're already in pain, and somebody pushes you so that you fall on the playground because now your crutch is away from you. You cannot, you cannot reach it, and then kids are laughing at you or something in that line. So my message to kids would be to be confident, understand the process of your injury, the rehabilitation and the goals, you know, understand that this is a temporary transition you're going through, and feel empowered that you're working hard. You have good support from home and your family, from the clinicians, and you will get there soon. The second thing is that always practice your response. So talk to your child that what if somebody asks you and how are you going to answer, or what are is going to be your response. So teach kids or teach children to respond and not to react. So they know that if somebody says something, they're not going to react to it right away. But, you know, stop, you know, think for 5 or 6 seconds and then respond appropriately. But if you practice that at home, is the only way the child will actually be able to do that when he's put in that situation. So staying calm, being confident, practicing your responses, trying to respond and not react to something. And sometimes as plain as just ignoring the bully and, you know, not letting it get to you works. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, also finding the situation in the child's day during this injury, like, you know, when is the bullying happen? Is it during the recess time when nobody's playing with you and you're secluded? Then try to be around your supportive good friends. So try to be in a group so you don't, you know, sit back alone. Or if that's not possible, then can you go to the library and help the librarian with a sitting project? Like, you know, you could sit down and say, I can sort out something for you so the adult can help them get through this. So I think those are some of the, tools we need to train the child, or, you know, offer them those tools so they in that situation can respond appropriately.
Yes, I love that. And something that I recently saw on Facebook was this idea. It was a teacher that shared this, but she said that she switched from asking, do you have any questions, to what questions do you have? Mm-hmm. And that little shift in language was really helpful in getting her students to ask more questions. And I think, like, when you are at the physical therapist, phrasing it that way and mm-hmm. and allowing the child, you know, as comfortable as they are to ask as many questions as they can yes. with the clinician is also really important, so that they do have the language of being like, this is the bone that's broken and let me tell you about it to their mm-hmm. friends, because it's interesting if you yes. frame it that way.
And what is interesting is I see kids for several weeks or sometimes months, so they develop such good rapport with me, and they are so comfortable with me that, in fact, actually, I actually really had this child. He's 4 years old, and he tells me more about what goes on in the class, or, you know, so-and-so hit me today, or whatever happens in the class, because they're very comfortable. And, you know, a lot of times when you're doing a play-based activity or you're singing, your guards are down, you know, you're more comfortable. And that's when that emotion comes out. And, you know, you say, oh, you know, yes, Miss Smita, this happened in my school today. And, you know, that's where I learn more about it. So sometimes it's easier for me also to actually address these issues and encourage. So what did you do during that situation? You know, you should have said this, or, you know, next time this happens, you know, you should do this. So I think I practice that ongoingly during my sessions with most kids.
Oh, that's great. And I hope that lots of clinicians are like you and doing that, because that, I think, offers such comfort and confidence building for kids who are, you know, going through something that can be overwhelming and scary, but doesn't have to be with that support network.
Right.
Well, wonderful. Well, is there anything else that you would like listeners to know about physical therapy, or how nannies can help their nanny kids work through this kind of difficult time?
I think that the key component of rehabilitation is teamwork, and I'm a big believer in it. So no matter how much I work hard with the child in the clinic, but if I don't have the whole team working towards the same goal, it's very difficult. So for us all as a team to achieve that goal in the optimum time and to the fullest potential, we have to make it happen all together. And that's why I think it's a great idea that, you know, I'm hoping that many listeners will understand that every piece of the segment is equally important. So when I send a kid with a home exercise program, what you help the child at home is equally important as compared to what I do during the session in the clinic.
Yes. And I do think that's important to keep in mind, because a lot of times, you know, a nanny's day can sometimes get overwhelming, and you know, you let the ball drop in certain areas, but this is certainly not one to let slide. Those daily exercises are important, or every other day, or however they're scheduled.
Yes, correct.
To follow them, you know, as to the letter as you can.
Yes.
Is important. And I also agree that encouraging the child to, you know, do the exercises in whatever way you can motivate them, or help them find the motivation with them themselves is also super important. And also, I think as a nanny, really asking questions yourself of the parents if you didn't get to go to the appointment with the physical therapist, really learning about it yourself, looking up and researching what the injury is like, so that you can better empathize with the child. I think those are all really good, important things to do.
Yes, I agree, because that's going to actually minimize the time in rehab and actually achieve those goals at the earliest.
Yeah, which everybody wants.
Yeah, everybody wants to go back to, you know, their normal activities, restoring their function, and that is the key of the teamwork.
Right, that's great. Where can listeners find your book?
So I think presently it is on Amazon.com.
Great.
And then it is also on ptproductsonline.com, and then Cherry Hills Media Publication also has it for sale. So right now all those three sources have it on sale.
Wonderful. And I will put those links down in the show notes. So if you're listening to this and you're like, but I'm driving and I can't write this down, don't worry, it's there for you. So when you're not driving anymore, you can go click on the links and it'll take you to be able to buy the book. And I do highly recommend it. It was a wonderful read. And it really answered a lot of my questions before our interview, even about physical therapy.
Yes, I wish more and more kids who are scheduled for a physical therapy evaluation prepare themselves what to expect, and not go through the agony of anxiety and fear or a sleepless night, because it is fun, and physical therapists are clinicians who try their best to help you make it fun and help you to achieve your goals.
Yes, that's lovely. Wonderful. Well, I end each episode of Chronicles of Nania with a fun story or quote, and a listener sent one in. So Bobby Wagner from The Nannyhood sent in this. She said, I want to keep... her boy nanny kid, who is age 2, said, Bobby, is this you sweater? Pointing to an old busted up zip up fleece that she had at his house and had there for almost a few years.
And she said, yes, B2, I wish chili. And so I put it on. And he rubbed his fingers up and down the zipper and said, this is beautiful. I love it. And then gave her a big hug. And she said, these things make the tantrums and craziness all worth it, which I totally agree. Those moments of just finding beauty in everyday objects is such a joy of working with children. Well, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you taking time to talk us through this. Because though I hope that a lot of our listeners don't have kids that are in physical therapy, because I hope they're not hurt. But if they are, I think that this is a really wonderful resource to help them prepare or work through it and be the best member of the team that they can be.
I agree.
Or if a nanny has to go to physical therapy, it's also good for them to know what it's like.
Yes, of course.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity so that, you know, we can share that there is a resource available for the children.
Yes, awesome. And thank you all for listening. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Chronicles of Nania is produced and hosted by Martha Reddick. Artwork by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.